asking that you please get your Bibles and let us turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew the 12th chapter. As we go to the Word of God, we're going to see what thus saith the Lord to us today. We're going with open hearts, receptive hearts. We're going to find out what God's will is for us here on this earth until our time is up. We're going to find out what God is requiring of us in order to be able to go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. And sometimes the Word of God comes and you say, I know that, I heard that, but just listen again. You can't exhaust the Word of God. God has something in it for all of us. And if you don't need it right now, just store it in your heart, because God's Word does not return void. And we want you to be receptive to His Word, because like Brother Lewis said, I want to go to heaven. And we all want to go to heaven. All right, Matthew, the 12th chapter. I'm reading verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We thank God for the reading of that 37th verse. And the Lord has placed in my heart to preach this morning from this subject. Your words will tell on you. Your words will tell on you. Words, you know, we're the only ones that God is of His creation has given us the ability to communicate with words. And I know that they can teach a bird a few words, but he can only say those words. But God has given us the ability to communicate with one another through words. And, you know, God used words to create this world. God said, let there be, and there was. So we have that, we're that much like God in that we can express ourselves through words. But I want us to think. I want us to think. I'm not going to rush. I'm going to try to take my time, because this is a message that we need to allow to soak in. This is like that soaking rain. Words can kill one's spirit. Words can stir up hatred, violence, and inflict wounds. That's what words can do. You know, there's that old expression that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Ah, that's not true. Words sometimes can hurt more deeply and longer lasting than the broken bones. Okay. Some words that people say to people, they never forget it. So words are important. And we need to be mindful as people of God of how we use these words. Our words have power to destroy or build up. Oh, in Psalms it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Happens all the time down in the court system. People go to trial, and the words, guilty on all accounts. And they can get a jail sentence, or it depends on the nature of the crime. They can get life in prison, or they can get the death sentence. The judge says, I hereby sentence you to death. Power of the words. And it has to be carried out. And I know they keep going and keep trying to keep them from going to the death chamber, but eventually all the appeals wear out, and it ended up having to go. You know, I think about, it hasn't been too long ago, right here in Jacksonville, Florida, some man was in jail, and a person who was an eyewitness of the crime that he had committed, and was going to testify against him, so he called his buddies and told them to go kill the man. And they went to the man's house. He rang the doorbell or whatever they did. He opened the door and they killed the man right there. Power of words. So words have great power. And we need to be mindful of the words we use. I just want to ask you a question for just a little while here. It says to each one of us, the words that we speak, are they filled with hate or love? I said, this is an inventory you'll have to do of yourself. When you talk to someone, are the words you're using, are they hateful, harmful, or are they words of love? And I know sometimes people feel they got a right to say things to kind of even the score, but no, we don't have a right as Christians to do that. All right? Your words show bitterness or blessing. Well, we are supposed to bless folks who do us wrong. Not bitterness. And some people can put out some bitter words, but that's not characteristic of a child of God. Are our words complaining or complimenting? Complaining or complimenting? You know, I think about sometimes in the home, and it goes for men and women. Husband and wives, it's just not only women. The men do the same thing. Some people can never find time to give a compliment to someone. I wonder how many times a husband will tell his wife, oh, that was a delicious dinner. I really enjoyed it. You know, you really know what to do in the kitchen. Or you saying, this was soupy, and you know I don't like this. You know I don't want that. You know I don't eat leftovers. Those are words. And those words can hurt. And the same thing with women. They can find fault. The husband doing the best he can, and then you tell him about, well, John over such and such, but John is not your husband. You got to live with the one you got. Amen. And they do something and you never compliment him. Oh, honey, you did a good job on that. I really appreciate that. You know that I needed taken care of. You knew that I needed that. But no, when you going to fix this? You know, it's been that issue and you still, whatever. Words? Do you know those words sometimes drive division between husband and wives? See, and I'm not offering an excuse because it's wrong, but a woman who's complaining, finding fault, can never say anything that's kind. He's doing the best he can, and you're even tell him that he's doing the best he can and compliment him on that. You know, sometimes when you do that words and you compliment, it might inspire him to do more. Amen. I'm preaching hard. preaching hard. But it might inspire him to do more. A lot of homes have been broken up because I'm going both ways. The wife always finding fault. Always want to argue and never have kind words. I very rarely have kind words. Let me say it like that. And you know what happens? The devil got a child out there who tell him some nice things. Tell him how handsome he looks. Tell him how well he dresses. Tell him how, oh, he's just a good man. Words, complaining words, complimentary words, and invariably it gets to some men, and they listen to that. And the same way it does for a husband. He's always finding fault with his wife. And I guarantee you there's somebody out there who want to compliment her and tell her, you sure look good today. I like the way you dress. Oh, co-worker, we just have lunch sometimes. She's not getting that at home. He wasn't getting those kind of things at home. Now, a child of God is not going to fall for that, but I'm telling you what happens in the world. But a child of God can be guilty of using the same words. You wonder why your relationship is not working. And a lot of times, you know what we need to do? We need to look at ourselves. We can always see fault in everybody else. We don't see fault in ourselves. We just got it all together. It's them, it's not me. Counsel folks, talk to husband and wife. It's him, he is, he this, he this, he this, he this, he that. If I talk to him, it's her, it's her, it's her, it's her, it's her. So that's why I don't like to talk to them one by one. We want counseling, both of you come. And what you're going to say about him, say it in front of his face. And what he's going to say about you, say it in front of his face. And then we can get to a solution. Can I get an amen? Because there are two sides. So words. Now think about a sinner man. We're going to have to be careful with the words that we use with him. You don't have to tell him that he's going to the lake. If he has been exposed to church, he knows that if he's not saved, that's where he's going. But we need to not constantly remind him. We need to use words that tell him that he can do better. There is a better way. Amen. God, Jesus changes lives. Jesus will make you a new creature. He will bring happiness into your life. People need to be built up. And I think about the schools. A lot of children have been damaged by teachers telling they're not going to be anything. I think they're not going to be anything. You know, a teacher should never tell a child that. She find ways to try to encourage the child. Try to find ways to let the child compliment him on the things that he does well and slowly bring him up. Let him know that he can be something. But he has to work hard. But you know, when you tell somebody you'll never be anything, you just not, sometimes they don't try to be anything. They just say, well, the teacher said, I'm not going to be anything. So parents do the same thing with children, especially when there's husband and wives, they hadn't had a breakup. And the young man there, one of the old boys, looked just like his daddy. And sometimes they say, you don't be anything, gonna be just like your old daddy. Don't ever tell a child that. Don't ever tell a child that. God can make him something. but we have to encourage them to be something. So words, you know, words, they play a great impact in our lives. Words will help a person be victorious, or they will face defeat. I want you to think about that, because it's important that we who are children of God, we do what is right to help people to be better. You can't make them better, but we can share information, give them information that will help them be better. So think about your words. The next time you get upset about something, think about your words. Don't let your upset attitude come out in words, because we're going to find out something. As we go a little further in the scripture, we're going to find out something. It's going to tell you, as the scripture, the subject, your words will tell on you. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, keep a mark on Matthew 12. We'll be back. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read a passage. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Let no corrupt communication words come out of your mouth, but that which is good. That's for the people of God. That's what we have to do. That's how we have to live. But that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, encouraging, strengthening, showing people a better way, edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. The words that we use shouldn't be encouraging to people. They should go away feeling better after having talked with a child of God. Amen. Even though they have done something against us, we're not going to lash out at them the way they did at us with words. Because we're going to find out. God is telling us something. He's telling us something. All right, so there should be no foul language coming out of a Christian's mouth. There should be no dirty jokes coming out of a Christian's mouth. There should be no vulgar humor. That's characteristics of the world. Those are things that you might have done when you were unsaved. But now, since you've been saved, there's been a change. And the things you used to do, you can't do that anymore. And the words that you used to use as a sinner, you don't do that. You don't talk that way anymore. Your words are going to tell on you. All right, let's go back to Matthew, the 12th chapter. I want us to look at verse 34. 34 reads, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Jesus was responding to the Pharisees. Jesus had healed a dumb and a blind man. And the people were amazed at what had happened. But let's look at verse 24 in that same chapter, and let's see what the Pharisees said. But when the Pharisees heard it, that Jesus had cast out the, he had healed the dumb and the blind, he could talk and he could see, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So what the Pharisees said was that the work that Jesus was doing through the power of the Holy Ghost of casting out the demons or whatever so that the man could talk and the man could see, they say that it was of the devil. Now, for you who did not know that, that's blasphemy. When they ascribe the work of the Holy Ghost as being the works of the devil, that's blasphemy. And the Bible says you can never be forgiven for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You can't ever be forgiven. So this is what the Pharisees said. And this is over in verse 34. This is the response to the Pharisees that Jesus said, O generation of vipers. A viper is a poisonous snake. That poison in his mouth. A rattlesnake. Poison in his mouth. Amen. How can you, being evil, speak good things? So Jesus said that what they had said, it identified, it told on them that they are evil. He called them vipers. So how can good things come out of you if you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the words that we use and the words that they use, they come from the heart. Sometimes people say that was a slip of the tongue. Oh, I didn't mean it. It came from the heart. That's where those words come from. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth does not bring glory to God, then you're going against where it tells us to edify. Something to think about, because we all use words every day. Every day. So this was the response to them saying that the work that Jesus had done was of the devil. And Jesus said, you vipers, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let's go down to verse 35. Let's continue to look at this. Look what it says. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Use the example that a good tree produces good fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. And if the tree is not good, then the fruit is not going to be good. In other words, if you are not who you say you are, that you're a child of God, that you're a Christian, but the words that come out of your mouth, they are telling on you that you are not and have not been grafted into the good tree. Because the Bible lets us know that the good tree produces good fruit. And those of us who are saved, we are part of that good tree. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And because we have been put into Jesus, and he's good. What comes out of us is good. And remember that he lives in us. So good produces good. Good heart produces good words. Words that will edify. Words that will encourage. Words that will help people to, as I said, feel better and do better. But the words we use, they are truthful words. See, some people use words to try to tell people and to build them up, but they're using it for the wrong reason because they want to take advantage of them at a later point. But that's not who we are. That's not who the children of God. We have a good heart. And the good heart produces good words. But the evil heart cannot produce good words. So that's why it's important that we who are professing to be Christian, watch your words. Examine your words. Sometimes we don't need to say anything. In some situations, we just need to hold our peace. And sometimes when we are being attacked, instead of trying to think of what we're going to say, we ought to say, Lord, word my mouth. Can I get an amen? Amen. And if you ask God to word your mouth, what comes out will be right. And then sometimes God doesn't tell you anything. He just wants you to stand there and take it as a good child of God. And that's when folks say, oh, you're Christians, people just walk all over you and you're a doormat. No, we're obeying God's word. And when we do what God says, yes, there are situations that can bring embarrassment to us who are children of God. But when I think about it, when we think about Jesus, when we think about what Jesus went through, the little embarrassment that we face is nothing compared to what our Lord and Savior endured in order for us to be children of God. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Amen. Hit him up beside the head. Amen. Spat on him. Save, come down from that cross. Save yourself. Mocked him. Whipped him. All that happened to our Savior so that I could be a child of God. So when we have to endure somebody trying to embarrass us, we don't have to accept it. We can just know that it was because I love God and the spirit in me is different from the spirit in them. And because I have the Holy Ghost, the spirit of God in me, the enemy will attack us. And sometimes they will attack you for no reason. There is a reason. And the reason is this. We have the spirit of God, they have the spirit of the devil. But we can take it. God created us to take it. We have a perfect example in Jesus Christ. He took it. He didn't say a mumbling word. He didn't threaten. There was no guile found in his mouth out of all the things that they did to Jesus. He endured it. And he wants us to know that he'll be with us when we have to endure. And we have to take up our cross and follow him. He's there to take us through. So you got to have a good heart in order to produce good words. Because the words, you remember the scripture says, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but what comes out of him, that is what defiles the man. And the words that we use will let us know, and that's where it starts, at home, if we are walking according to God's will, if we are walking according to God's way. And sometimes it will help us know whether or not we are true children of God. Because some folks think they're saved, but their lives are not backing up being saved. We got to have a life that goes with our testimony. So your words reveals your heart. Think about that for a moment. The words, your words reveals your heart. It lets you know the condition of your heart. It lets you know the status of your heart. It lets you know if you have the right heart. And I want us to remember this. As Christians, when we are saved by the Lord, we get a new heart and a new spirit. A new heart and a new spirit. And because we are Christians and have a new heart and a new spirit, our word should be reflected in the change that has taken place in our lives. People who used to know you as a cursing person, they meet you later on in life, they find out you don't talk that way anymore. People who knew you would threaten folks. And after God put his hands on you and they did something to you and they were looking for you to get even with them because they knew your character, they're going to find out they're looking in vain because you're not going to do anything. And what's so wonderful about that, we don't have to do anything other than live right, live the way God says, because God now fights our battles. God will make things right for us. Amen. So we don't have to live, and we can't live like we used to, because the Bible reminds us so vividly that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You look the same, but on the inside, there's a change that's taking place. And when that change has taken place on the inside, it's reflected on the outside by the way we live. By the way we talk, by the way we treat people, amen. By we endure, by the way when tests come our way, that we continue to have faith in God, amen. By we'll never give up. We know because the word of God let us know that he will never leave us. He's always with us. In the midst of hard trials, temptation, he is there. And God has promised us that he would provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. We'll have to hold on to those words that God has left to us, because there's power in his words. It sustains us. It strengthens us. It builds us up. It encourages us. It helps us during the time. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When I know what God tells us to do and tell you to do and tell me to do, then we can do what God says, knowing that we're doing the right thing. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We don't want to sin against God. Man, we want to walk up rightly before God every day. So, Christians, you have a new heart. You've been grafted into a good tree. And because you're in a good tree, good words are going to come out of your mouth. And if they are not coming out of your mouth, it's telling you your heart is not right. You need to remember that Jesus lives in us. He's in us. Jesus lives in you and me. All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 again as we go down to verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. What's an idle word? A word that's empty. A word that's unprofitable. In other words, not helping anybody. Careless words. Remember I said a slip of the tongue? That's careless words. We need to think about what we say before we say it. Amen. But an idle word, a words that they don't bring glory to God. So the scripture says that I say unto you, Jesus is talking, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Judgment day is coming. Jesus is coming back to judge the world. He went away, but he says he's coming back. And when judgment day comes, there will be some separating. He's going to separate his children from the children of the devil. And all that's done in this time on earth, in our life, all that we are doing is being recorded in a book. It's being recorded. All the words that we say, once we say we are saved, the words that we use, we got to use the right words. So it says, every idle word, you shall give an account. In other words, for all those people that you use words to bring them to tears, all those people that you beat them down so that they didn't feel like they were worth anything, all the children that you told you're not going to be anything, amen. All the mean words that husband and wife say to one another, amen. All those things. A book is being kept. Book is being kept. And the Bible says you're going to have to give an account for every idle word on the day of judgment. I thank God for Jesus. Because Jesus fixed it so we won't have to give an account. And he fixed it so we won't have to use idle words anymore. See, that's the important thing. He changed us. He came to live in us. He lives in us in the form of the Holy Ghost. He lives in us, and our steps are ordered by him. The life I live, it's not me, it's not you, it's Christ who lives in us. And Jesus used words when he was moving about in this world that folks were amazed. But every idle word. That's why saints can't use idle words. Amen. We have to live so we can help judge the world. Jesus is going to judge it, but we're going to help judge the world. And we got to live right every day. And it goes on to say, you're going to have to give an account. See, some folks think that once I'm dead and gone, it's all over. It's not all over. Jesus said he's going to bring back the dead. Seed's going to have to give it up. Amen. The grave's going to have to give it up. And you're going to have to stand before a judge, a holy judge. Amen. And all the things that you've done in this body, whether they've been good or bad, he knows all about it. Let us never forget where Jesus told us, where the word of God reminds us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is everywhere, all at the same time. There is nowhere anyone can go that God cannot see them. You can't get in the dark and God not see you. Because the darkness and the light are the same to God. He's a God like no other because he is the one and only true God. So we're dealing with a God who knows everything. He sees everything. And even that, the Bible reminds us that He knows our thoughts are far off. What a mighty God we have. What a mighty Father we have. What a loving Father that we have, because it's not his will that any should perish. And he sent a Savior into the world. And the scripture reminds us that God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. In other words, God did the work himself. It's God and Jesus, they are one. So the work was done. So the next verse says, For by thy words, thou shalt be justified. And by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. By your words. Our words have power to bring death and life in this world and in the world to come. Think about that. In this life, and in the world to come. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, acquitted, not guilty of using idle words, not guilty of using words to tear down people instead of building them up, not using words that will bring comfort and perhaps peace and perhaps encouragement to people. We're going to use those words to help build people up, because that's our assignment, to edify, to lift up Jesus, to let the world see Jesus in us, because that's the only way they can see him, is through us, by the way we live as children of God, by the way we treat people, by the way we talk to people. You've heard folks say, if that's a Christian, I don't want that. That's a sad time when somebody says that. It brings a reproach upon the name of the Lord, that they're supposed to be God's representative here on earth, and somebody would see them and they don't want to be like the Jesus who sent us. So it's going to affect the next life, because if you got to give an account of every word, but if your words have been wholesome and righteous and truth and loving and kind, then our names have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if our words are just the opposite of that, that means that our names are in the books. You want your name in the life book. You want your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who have eternal life. Those who have peace of knowing that when Jesus comes back, he's coming for me. He's coming to take me home. This is not our home. We're passing through here. We're on our way to heaven. And we have to live right so that when he comes back, we'll hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. 1 Peter, the third chapter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15 reads, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. With meekness and fear. In other words, we need to let our words show our faith and power of God, grace of the indwelling spirit that's in our lives. You ought to be glad to tell people, I live this way. It's not I, but it's Jesus. You ought to be glad to tell folks that I live this way because I am an ambassador for the Lord. I live this way and I endure certain things because Christ is in me. And we need to be glad to tell people of the hope that is within us. We are children of God, and Jesus went away to prepare a place for us, and he's coming again. And as I said, when he comes back, he's coming for me to take me home. You ought to be glad to tell people, I'm a child of God. Because he says if we're ashamed of him in this world, he would be ashamed of us. You don't want the Lord to be ashamed of you. So remember, your words. Your words will tell on you. You can say you're saved all you want. But if you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is in vain. That's what the Bible says. And some folks think they just got to say it. You need to pray. You need to learn how to bridle your tongue. Because as I remind you again today, once those words leave your mouth, you can't stop them. You can't bring them back. You can't erase them. You write it on paper and you can erase it. But once they come out of your mouth, it goes to the recipient and it goes to their heart. And if it's not good words, if it's damaging words, God is not pleased. God is not pleased. As I close in Psalms, the 19th chapter, well, you can turn to it. I know you know it from memory, but just turn to it. Psalms 19th chapter. This should be a daily prayer of the children of God. Psalms 19. Verse 14 reads, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want my words. I want my meditation that's in my heart to be acceptable. I want God to be pleased with me. I want God to be happy that we're his children. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to God. And if God is pleased, if God is pleased, he will tell you when Jesus comes back, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Your words will tell on you. In other words, they'll let us know whether you're true or false, whether you're a saint or a sinner, by those words. Will everyone please stand? God bless you. Someone needs prayer. Please come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Bless you. We thank God for each one of you who is standing at the altar. Have faith in God. For whatever reason you're at the altar and whatever request you are requiring of the Lord, have faith in God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you don't believe, you're not going to receive. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we pray, have faith in God. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, God, that you send your word to help us, to prepare us so that we'll be ready to meet you in peace, that we will be here in this world and live a life representative of holiness, representative of you, our Father. Dear Lord, we ask you to look at your people at the altar. You know each one. You know their needs. You know their special request. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to have mercy today. Have mercy, Lord. We need your mercy. Whatever it is, Lord, if it's according to your will, grant it. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Please, Jesus, have mercy. Lord, we ask you to look on those who are saved. Keep their hearts encouraged. Keep them walking uprightly before you. Keep them with their mind stayed on you. Keep the peace that only you give and the world can't take away. And Lord, we ask you to look on those who are unsaved. Father, we ask you to touch their hearts, touch their minds, help them to be concerned about your return. Help them to cry out for mercy. Help them to repent of their sins. Help them to come to you and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Please save me. Lord, draw them to you. Open their understanding. Help them to believe. Give them the gift of salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to bless everyone at the altar. We ask you to look on the children. Keep their bodies well. Keep them from danger. Keep them safe. Help them to be good children, obedient children. And help them, Lord, to have a love for you. Even as children, you can put the love in their hearts. Thank you, God. Lord, we ask you to bless our church. We ask you to bless every member. We ask you to add to it daily such as should be saved and keep us in your care. This we pray in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank God for those who came to the altar.